Scott Willis.
Yeah. Thank you, my friend. Sorry if I just stay down here on the main level. I'm a walker. I can't help it. Just the way it started out. Well, I've used to say for a long time I'm not a preacher. But for the last 19 years, I've been going with Pastor Cletty Keith. He's my pastor. And yeah.
Amen.
So that's all I need to say. Amen. If you know who I'm talking about. Yeah. So it's like, look, you know, I was sharing with my brother. I was raised in Holiness Pentecost. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, they had more rules and regulations. So, I mean, we were Pentecostal before Pentecostal was cool. We were on the other side of the tracks. I never told anybody we were Pentecostal because I found out if you told them you were Pentecostal, they called you a holy roller. So we watched Billy Graham on television. Billy Graham was a Baptist, so I told everybody, we are Baptist. And somehow that was acceptable to everybody. How many know what I'm talking about? Pentecost was not. This was back in the 60s. And then my grandparents were godly people, man. My grandfather, all my family's from Kentucky. There you go. I know I'm in the right place. In fact, if you're from northern Kentucky, you ain't from Kentucky. To my family, they're all from the mountains. They say, we shoot people from northern Kentucky. Must be revenuers coming. But my grandfather was an old moonshiner and came up here from down in Corbin, Barberville area. I mean, the Hatfields were his friends, and they'd come and stay with him. But he got right with God in a storefront Pentecostal church, was not raised in any church, and that night, God dramatically changed my grandfather. Amen. And he became a pillar in the church. My grandmother, her father was a circuit rider preacher. And she kept pulling on my grandfather to go to church and get right with God. And she had gone like a week or two before in a revival meeting. And it so radically changed my grandfather, he became a pillar in the church all those years. Now, he lived in a property, was kind of out in the country, and had a holler. So I know if you're from Kentucky, you know what a holler is. I get up Minnesota, I just come back from Africa, they don't know what a holler is. But he had a rock altar built next to the creek and pulled flat rocks out and built a rock altar. And you go down that cow path down in there, even during the day, it can get dark, you know what I mean, the trees. But he grew up like that, and so he would pray there all night for the church. And he had six kids. My dad's the only boy out of five girls. I don't know how he ever made it. But we were all raised in the same church. And my cousins, 14 of them, are like my brothers and sisters. And if you grew up in church, you were there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Saturday night, youth meeting. And then they would have revivals that would go on for weeks. You go around, I get around the country, around the world, they say, well, we can't even get people out on Sunday. But things have changed, but things are changing. Amen? Yeah. And we just finished 80 days of meetings last year in a 90-day period, two meetings a day, 160 meetings. And they said people won't come, and they came. 30-day meeting, two meetings a day, 10 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Hundreds of people came. Hundreds of people got right with God. The healing's in the house. Homosexuals got free. Some are, and one of them's even in Bible college right now. We've had people healed of Parkinson's disease and cancer. And really, all I did every night was read the word to people. I had some of the greatest preachers you ever meet in your life sit on that front row. And they intimidated me to no end. But I heard the Lord say, preach my word every night. And we had manifestations of power and people touched. And so I started in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. And I basically, out of the Amplified Bible, read the Bible to the people. Some nights, maybe only a verse. And other nights, maybe two chapters. But wherever I felt like I hit something, I had an altar call, and the altars were packed every night, two meetings a day for 160 meetings. So God is still God. Amen? People change, but God doesn't change. And so just to briefly give you a little more history, I was raised in the Pentecost, and then the church, when I was young, brought in a pastor from London, Kentucky. His name was Pearl Robinson. People may know him over here. He was one of the greatest pulpiteers I was ever around. He preached like T.D. Jakes and packed out a little church about half this size. maybe about half this size, and then they went out and they built a big church. And the church had a balcony to hold about 1,000 people. And I mean, we didn't have but about 200 people, and you just felt like you walked into Millett Hall or something, you know what I mean, or some Indiana University hall. But within, that was in about mid-60s, and it didn't take long to fill the thing up because the word got out, this pastor. And what happened was, is these holiness Pentecostals, now I'm talking about people that had more rules. When you grow up like that, you just say, well, you know, I got tired of them telling me we can't do that. I mean, you couldn't go to the bowling alley. You couldn't go to the ball game. All that was of the world. You couldn't play sports. All that was of the world. Women didn't cut their hair, piled it up on top. They didn't wear makeup. And they had a lot of rules for women, I noticed. You know what I mean? A lot of rules for the women. Very few for the men. In fact, men sat on one side, women sat on the other when I was real little. But the pastor would go to hotel meetings where the charismatic movement was happening. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And Methodists and Catholics and Presbyterians and those folks were receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he would go there, take some of his leaders, and he'd say, I want you to come in here with an open mind. And they'd see Catholic priests receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They'd been kicked out of their denomination, and so he knew they needed a church and they needed a pastor, and so he just said to them, you need a church, you need a pastor, we'd be honored if you come to our church. And here they came. Now, they were as different as those holiness Pentecostals, do you know what I mean? As night and day. I mean, they came in, man, they had big gold crosses hanging on. They brought the family Bible. They got saved in somebody's house, and the only Bible they had was the one on the coffee table, you know what I mean? So they brought it, and they brought tape recorders, and I could never understand why they brought tape. It was back for anybody recorded, you know, the services. But I realized when they came that it wasn't good enough to hear my pastor that night. They had to take it home and listen to it over and over. And we really had gotten spoiled with great preaching. And my pastor would make a point. People would run to the front and have to go back and sit down. It was so overpowering. And the church grew, man. And within a very short of time, in the early 1970s, we were running 1,000 people Sunday morning, Sunday night. If you came 10 minutes late, you didn't get a seat. The balcony was full. They'd have set up chairs. No special, just regular. 100 voice youth choir, all white, sounded black. I mean, remember Andre Crouch, you know who that name is. He was the hottest thing gospel music. Came to our church, we sang a lot of his songs, and I think he felt an obligation to let us sing a song with him one night, the night he was there. And when we came in on the chorus on the song, The Blood, that's when it was still the Andre Crouch and Disciples. They turned around, couldn't believe it, and we sang all the rest of the songs with him till midnight. He just wouldn't let us go. And when he was anywhere close to Cincinnati, he had our choir come and back him up. But these charismatics were a little different for me, man. I thought it was pretty cool we have all these people coming. But my aunts were kind of set in their ways. I mean, your family will influence you, you know. And they didn't like the way these charismatics were dressed. They didn't like the way they looked. And that's starting to rub on me a little bit, man. Now, I was in the choir because I couldn't do anything else. I used to ask them, what can we do? And they said, you can go to church. So that was the only thing I was allowed to do. I couldn't sing, but I was in the choir. It was a big social thing as well. But I didn't know about these charismatics. And one night I saw this beautiful long-legged blonde in the back of the building. I said, who in the world is that? And they said, she's one of those charismatics. So my heart opened up to the charismatic movement that night. And it's been open ever since. And we started talking, never stopped talking, dated for 4 years. My wife's a college graduate. She went to Indiana University, graduated Miami. And we've been married 36 years and 3 sons. Amen. So she's not here tonight. My mother-in-law hates this. But, you know, we only had one fight in 36 years. Amen. But that fight's still going on. Somebody knows. Keep it real. Sorry she couldn't be with us tonight. We're leaving, headed to Illinois, and she was a little, we just got back from Africa on Tuesday, and we're a little jet lag, and she was a little bit under the weather trying to get things done, so she couldn't be here and wanted to be here. We love Pastor Shane and Laura and the whole family, and Savannah's my buddy. And but what happened in our church was my wife and I decided to get married. And we put our name on the calendar with the pastor, and he said, I'll get with you later. And that was in the summer of 1977, and in October of 77, my pastor was a pilot flying all over the country preaching conferences. He and his son was one of the leading gospel music writers. I mean, 30 years ahead of his time, get on the keyboard, and you know how we just get on there and worship today? Well, you didn't do that back. Everybody sang out of a book. Do you know what I mean? That was even before they put stuff on the wall. But he would get on the keyboard and just begin to worship. 30 years ahead of his time, and sang with Nancy Harmon and the Nancy Harmon singers during that time. Terry was incredible, never had a piano lessons, unbelievable. So he, Pastor Robinson, his two sons, flying home from London, Kentucky, when in a horrible storm, and there was a plane crash. And he was a pilot, and again, there were no survivors, and it was a devastation. Amen. Devastation. So in shock, couldn't cry. It was like family. And three caskets, over 12,000 people signed books at the visitation that night. TV crews set up in the parking lot. Devastation. Devastation. And he left a wife and one daughter. And a year later, the church split down the middle in a dispute about, in other words, factions raised up. I didn't even know there was such a thing, man. I thought it was all one big loving family. It was families. Do you know what I mean? Connected families. I mean, the church is a family, amen? Today, families are so disjointed. Do you know what I mean? So the only family you really can have is your church family, you know? And it's amazing what's happened here. What a beautiful building and incredible what's happening here, man. And I think you got the right guy to be your pastor. He's a pastor's heart. I've known him for a long time. And so I'm just very privileged to be here. Pastor Colletti never gives me notice. And he called me up and said, I need you to go over there if you can go. And I said, yeah, no problem at all. I'd love to do it. In fact, Pastor Shane's been talking about coming for a long weekend or something. We just haven't set it up. Well, the church split. I watched people go to war with each other. See each other in a restaurant, wouldn't talk, family split down the middle. What I'm telling you is I've already seen good church, great church. I was raised in one of the greatest churches in the world. People like, you know, top leaders would come through and speak, and they would say, I've never seen anything like this church. I'm talking about in the 70s. Never seen anything like this place. And music was off the hook. Everybody in there could sing. I was raised with people sing like Carrie Underwood. I was raised with people singing like country music people. Do you know what I mean? Opera singers, people, everybody in there, all them hillbillies sang. And I'll tell you, when the Spirit of the Lord's moving, he'll bring people in that can do the job. Do you know what I mean? If you're hungry. And so I went to work for my father-in-law right out of high school, who had the largest plumbing business in the state of Ohio. And I went to work as a plumber's helper. So, you know, some people start at the bottom. I started below the bottom. I started in the sewer ditch. That's where they put me. So what you flush down your toilet, come out on my boot. And I became a plumber, worked for my father-in-law, and later went in the real estate business. I left him. My father-in-law was like a Laban. It was like boot camp, Marine Corps. Now, I've got three sons. My oldest is a captain, company commander, Special Forces, United States Marine Corps. Hoorah! He's done two tours in Iraq, one tour after the Benghazi, awarded Distinguished Service Medal for his putting together the response to another attack. And he's now training commando special forces, taking down ships, and they leave in December. So if you'd keep them in your prayer, I would appreciate it very much. He has a wife, who's a nurse, and two children. My middle son's a CPA and has a set of twins, married a beautiful gal. And my youngest son went to the University of Tennessee, so he is absolutely on the blackball list of all of my family. Drove all the way through Kentucky to go to the University of Knoxville, down at University of Tennessee. Bleeds orange, and he's up and ready for this football season. And so that's about what happened. I started in the building business. I started out real estate, and then that I had the favor of God. I just went to work. I had to bring my wife home from a big corporate job. Stay home with two sons, and then another son came. How many's ever been under pressure? And I just went to work day and night, night and day, I went to work. And I have two cousins that are carpenters. I'm a plumber, not a carpenter. I can do some gardening, but I'm not. I'm mostly a salesman. I learned to sell swimming pools in 1980, and I carried those tactics over to selling production housing. Within a few years, we're building 80 to 100 new homes a year. The average price around $300,000. And I just had favor with the kingpins, developer, and built hundreds of homes, developed thousands and thousands of lots, and made millions of dollars. Only to watch the whole thing crash when the powers that be just sucked my wealth right up the line. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Bankers, the system. But I got right with God in 95. I had the thing rolling at home, got away from God. I actually believe this, that if I was raised a Muslim, I'd have been a Muslim. If I was raised Catholic, I'd been Catholic. If I was raised Presbyterian, I'd been, I just hadn't been raised with these crazy hillbilly Pentecostal people. And so I didn't even know if there was a God. But I recognized after a while that I could never get my doctrine. How many know you'll make your own doctrine around my praying grandfather? And my grandparents were like this. The phone would ring, and you'd be watching Daniel Boone, and they would phone with somebody's had an accident on the way to the hospital, not sure they lived. Not sure they'll live. My grandparents turned the TV down or off. If you were there, you got down on your knees with them, and they began to cry out to God. Today, when people tell you they're going to pray, you don't even know if they're going to pray. Right. My grandparents got down on their knees, and they cried out to God. You could have heard them down the street, down the road. They lived out by themselves, but you could have heard them out on the road. They called out for God, and they would pray 20, 30 minutes, maybe even longer. You'd miss all your Daniel Boone show. And when they got up, they were just the glory of God filled the place. Do you know what I mean? And they would, my grandfather go to bed like right now, he'd be headed to bed. And I could hear him walking out go to bed. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. That's how they taught, man. I never heard anybody talk about that but ministers, but that's how my grandparents were. And so I just could never get my doctrine around that. And in Memorial Weekend 95, walking through the bedroom of my home, I took a glance in the mirror. Like you check yourself out just before you go out the house. Nobody home. And I stopped just like this in my bedroom. And I knelt down and I realized I wasn't low enough. And I laid on my face, grabbed the carpet with everything I had. And I said, God, if you're real, I've been taught about you my whole life. But if you're real, I need to know now. Because I tell you, my life was coming to some, making some decisions. And long story short, man, I began to weep and then repent before God. And it's like all of a sudden this big Scott and little God just reversed. And it was a little tiny Scott and this huge God. Amen. And I heard things in my spirit that I would have never said like this at that time. I knew very little about the Bible. You can be raised in church and know nothing about the Bible. Right. So I just knew what I heard in church. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I said, God, I need to know you like Moses knew you. I need to know you like David. I knew those two guys knew God. And I had had favor with the kingpins, man. I had the luxury box at the Bengals game with the bankers. And do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I've had favor on my life. Why can I not have that same favor with God, not realizing so stupid that it was God that was doing that for me anyway? Do you know what I mean? You just think it's you. You know what I mean? You just can't. If you're making money, you just can't help to think it's you. If you read Deuteronomy, he says, hey, man. God gives you the ability to get well. Don't, when you're living in goodly houses, don't begin to think it's you, man. It's God all along. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so this is what happened to me. 30 days, man, I went through brokenness. Broken, broken, broken. And I didn't come here really to go in detail about my testimony because I'm going to share a few things this way, and then we're just going to follow the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. And this thing is real to me, and we just seen it happening real. But what happened was, man, 30 days, I was just a wreck, man. I wouldn't let myself cry. Construction business is not geared to weeping. How many know what I'm talking about? I became ruthless and cruel. And, you know, you're dealing with guys that fight in bars all night, yet come and do the plumbing. Do you know what I mean? So you've got to be, and then you're dealing with sophisticated, educated home buyers. So I had to be all things to all people. But I was broken, man. Weeping, just, I'd come home 5 o'clock, kick on the music. At that time, the hottest thing was Ron Canole. And I had no, you know, my wife had all this stuff. And one thing about my wife, she's charismatic, she's like her mother-in-law. My mother-in-law is 87, charismatic Lutheran. My wife was raised Lutheran. But I mean, they've got a walk with God that's second to anybody I know. Do you know what I mean? My wife just prayed me right back into the thing. And I've never been baptized in the church, man. Now, can you believe that, man? When they baptized, when I was a kid, they baptized me in the creek. I've got video of my grandfather breaking the ice, bringing people down to baptize them in wintertime. The night I got baptized, Pastor Clady Keith was the speaker. I didn't really know too much about him, but I got up and they wanted me to testify. I don't want to say nothing. The truth is, there were seven other people supposed to be baptized. None of them showed up. They'd all been through class. They didn't make me go through a class because they knew I was raised in a church. I don't know what happened to them people to this day, but then I showed up. They wanted me to say something. I don't want to say anything. Just baptize me. Let's get this over with, you know. But all I said was, I've been going through this thing for 30 days that I can't explain. There's a brokenness in me, raised in church, been away from God for over a decade. All I know is God has crushed my heart, and he holds it in his hand.
Amen.
And Pastor Clady that night got up a little bit later, pulled me out of the crowd, put me on the platform, said, God's used you tonight. You can't imagine what God's going to do in your life. And that night, we were in church till 2 in the morning, and the fire, the revival, whatever you want to call it, renewal, hit that church. We was there till 2 o'clock in the morning. And that church never been there. Next night, Pastor Clady left. Next day, went on a trip. They had a spontaneous service, came back. Place was triple the crowd. I mean, I'm telling you, there wasn't 100 people there that night when that place used to be packed, 1,000 people. And the next night, we had about 400. How many know the Word of God? I mean, when something happened, God does, the Word travels quickly. No radio advertisement, just word of mouth. You need to get back out of here, man. And the next night, 2 o'clock in the morning. Next night, 2 o'clock in the morning. Leaders and elders, the most conservative people I ever seen in that you ever know, they had to carry them to their car drunk in the Holy Ghost. The first time, I mean, it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. Now, I've been going through this for 30 days, so it was like God just threw gasoline on my fire. And Pastor Clady got that night, talked about his Friday night. I started going there. He recognizes we'd sit till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and he was amazed by my story, and it wasn't too long. He asked me to travel with him, and I went to check out this preacher. I went to China in 94 as a guest of the government. Because I do stuff like that, raft riding, jumping out of airplanes. My cousin, we've kind of been crazy all these years. So I went to check his preacher out, and I just never stopped going. 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 7 o'clock meetings, laying on the floor. And this brand new, beautiful carpet, but old dirty carpets around the world with my nose stuck in that carpet changed my life.
Hallelujah.
I said it changed my life. I couldn't understand it with my mind, so I had to let my mind go. Because I knew what I was doing was killing me. Had the money, had all the things the world tells you to do. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, there's a million stories, 10 million stories like mine. All I'm telling you is I never dreamed that I'd be doing what I'm doing today.
Amen.
Pastor Clady put me out there and just kept putting me out there. And I don't know why I went. I was compelled. And I traveled with him day and night for 12 years. And I've built 100 homes a year. England, well, anywhere, Africa, wherever we went. As long as I get to a phone, they tell me they fax me the contract, sign it, send it back. I'd be on a weekend meeting with Pastor Clady in California. I remember I sold 6 houses in one day, and I wasn't even there. Do you know what I mean? And so the Lord blessed us. But we've gone through these other things, and Job said, the thing I fear the most has come upon me. Amen. And so we don't understand suffering. We don't understand loss. And I'm telling you right now, it's just part of the drill.
Right.
God will test you to see what's in your heart. Amen?
Yeah.
So would you do this just for a few minutes? Would you stand to your feet and lift your hands to heaven? That's where our help comes from. I don't want you to pray this prayer unless you're serious tonight. But if you're serious, I want you to pray with me. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Open up my eyes to see. Open up my ears to hear. Plow my heart to receive your word. Give me faith. And give me boldness to step out on your word tonight. I'm not waiting until Sunday. Tonight. Lord, Don't let me leave this building the same way I came. In Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Tell your neighbor to give you $500. You're going to the mall. You look prosperous tonight. Amen. Now, I'm just going to read a few verses to you for a few minutes, and we're just going to follow the Holy Ghost. How many need a fresh touch from heaven tonight? Amen?
Amen.
I know I do. We just come back from Africa 2 weeks there. Let me tell you something God's doing, touching little children. I was in a place that had gone through a miner strike for 6 months. Now, there are no social programs in South Africa, none, no welfare, nothing. You run out of food and money, you're out of food and money. And so people from all over South Africa sent potatoes and bread to feed the people of Rustenburg, South Africa. 6 months on a strike, no income coming in. And it left the place in devastation. They are back to work now. But children, parents went on drugs, orphaned white kids I'm talking about. Now, I've been to Zambia where there's been hundreds of AIDS orphaned children. You have never seen that. They run like a pack of dogs. It's amazing the human animal will survive. Are you with me?
Yeah.
They'll survive. And this church fed these kids. And the place is packed, several hundred people. These kids running out. Now, when I was in church, man, I was raised in church. I had so many family members. You sat still. Do you know what I'm saying? You sat still. And especially when the Holy Spirit was moving, you never moved. There was a message in tongues, whatever. You stopped in your tracks. There was a reverence. Today, people don't reverence nothing. So anyway, it's kind of bugging me. And about the point where it's about to make me mad, I heard the Lord say, pray for the children. And so I thought, well, I'm going to do that up front. Then I realized I'm going to wait until I spoke. Actually, it's what I'm getting ready to do with you right here. When I got to my last little point there, I've never had this happen to me. When I just finished my last thought before I was going to make an altar call, a kid come out of nowhere and grabbed me around the waist, about 9, 10 years old. I never even looked at him because the minute he grabbed me, nearly knocked me down, I heard the Lord say, pray for him now. Pray for the children now. So I had him lying these street kids up from 8 to 12 years old. And they lined him across the front, and I went to pray for them. And I looked him in the eye, and I said, raise your hands. I said, look at me. Do you love Jesus? You know what they said? I love Jesus. I said, he loves you. And I put my hand on them, and they fell out under the power. And I never even looked. The next one, you love Jesus? Yes. He loves you. You love Jesus? About the third one, man, started breaking me down because I knew these kids, I could tell it was rough. I didn't know later they were street kids, but, and so I knew God was touching them. And after I prayed for about 10 of them, I looked back. Now, these kids couldn't sit still. I mean, they were in and out, in and out, in and out. The 10 that I prayed for, out under the anointing, never moving. Got through the whole, I don't know how much, there were 30 to 40 of them. 10 minutes go by. 20 minutes go by, 30 minutes go by, 40 minutes go by, and these kids are still laying out under the anointing, the power of the Holy Ghost, and the youth pastor didn't even believe in a thing. Big old former rugby muscle man guy that went out in the streets and worked with these kids. The next night he got so touched, he was gone for I don't know how long. And that happened every certain. And then what happened is when the adults saw what happened to the children, grown men would come rough. I mean, the South Africans, man, are headbutters. You know what I mean? They're rugby players. They came down broken seeing these children. Because after, you can get your kid to lay still for 10 minutes. Do you know what I mean? 20 minutes, 30 minutes. This church knew these kids, man. And God just opened that meeting up, touching people by the fire and the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? I mean, that's what we need for America today.
Yeah.
Now, in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, it says, and Nadab and Abihu, they're not hillbillies by those names, the sons of Aaron took either of them his censer and put fire therein. Everybody say fire.
Fire.
And he put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord. Everybody say fire. And devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that. Has anybody ever heard that phrase before? This is that the Lord spake, and I will be sanctified. That's a word nobody even talks about today. It means simply to be set aside. Are you listening? I will be sanctified in them, come nigh me, and before all the people I'll be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says, who were chosen and foreknown by God the Father and consecrated. That's another thing. That's all we called that whole month. We called it, you know, fan the flame. The first part of it is, you know, catch the flame, but get the flame. Amen? Consecrated, sanctified, made holy. I mean, no, holiness is important. That ain't, I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about holiness. It's so important that the Bible says without holiness, we will not see God. To be obedient to Jesus Christ, that's what it does for us. Holy Spirit makes us obedient to Him as we yield to Him. Amen? To be sprinkled with His blood, may grace, spiritual blessing, and peace be given you in increasing abundance. Everybody say, I need more. That spiritual peace to be realized in and through Christ. Freedom from fears. Nothing irritates me anymore than to call for people that are dealing with panic attacks and fear to see little children come, because that's who comes when I make that call. I mean, adults come, but when you see a 10-year-old kid coming in line because he's dealing with panic attacks and fear, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you have no idea what's happening out here with these kids. But increasing abundance of God says freedom from fears, agitating passions, and moral conflicts. That's what every pastor deals with every church. Well, I just read you, freedom from fears, agitating passions, and moral conflicts. I don't need to sit and talk about homosexuality and how crazy that is. I'm telling you right now, the greatest cancer on the church is unforgiveness. Right. Marriage, divorce, marriage, divorce, marriage, divorce. Still carrying the wounds from the first one. You know, and I have pastors that say to me, well, you know, there's times of refreshing. Well, if you study that out, you find that that simply, that verse is a Hebrew idiom, and it means like a wound that's never been healed, that takes a surgical instrument to open up that wound so that it can get air and be healed. How many know that's what we need, times of refreshing? That's constantly. People carry wounds. 20 years can go by, and you can go in McDonald's and see somebody from that divorce, and it's like the divorce happened that day. How many know what I'm talking about? The Spirit of God comes to heal these things in our life, part of consecrated, sanctified life. Is everybody with me? Now, Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled. Everybody say, ever be filled.
Ever be filled.
And stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Now, that means being continually filled.
Amen.
It's a process. Being. How many believe the Word of God? That's why I read it. That's why I read it to people. Because other than that, it's just a bunch of storytelling. Do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but ever be filled. Continually is the phrase here. With the Holy Spirit. What happens is people quit drinking after a while. Being continually filled is a process. How many got gas in your vehicle this last week? Two people. How many got gas in your vehicle this week? You on solar power over in Indiana, man? No, you putting the cow manure in there making it work. Your gas tank must be continually filled as it runs out. Your spiritual life must be continually filled, and you shouldn't wait till it's on empty. And here's how you know. Something breaks out in your family. You go to pray, you feel like you got nothing. But when you're filled, overflowing. See, what reason I'm here tonight, only reason I come, I don't go to speak. I come because I know when Shane came here and I heard the story of this church, eventually I was going to be here because God wants to shake this entire region. He's looking for a hungry people. Now, I don't really care about the age. You've got families that God needs to touch. Amen? And when I was a kid and somebody needed to be saved and kids were lost, they got together around the altar and they called those kids by name. It wouldn't be 2 weeks them kids would show up at church and be in the altar. How many know God answers prayer? And it's the whole thing is about being filled to overflowing. Amen? Now, this is my Bible. You know, I went in a place, quoted a verse out of the, I don't even know what it was, NIV. I mostly do all the Amplified Bible. I had a lady come and wear me out. That NIV Bible was used by the Masons. It's used by every cult group going on, blah, 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 blah. And only the King James Bible. My brother-in-law was the head of the seminary at this home and everything. And she talked so fast, man, it's like one of my aunts. She's going, I just wearing me out. And this is that and that. And I said, lady, the Ku Klux Klan quotes the King James Bible. It's not about what Bible you quote. It's about what you have in your heart and live out. Are you listening to me? The devil quotes the word, man. You come too late. You come too late. You come too late to give me all that, man. I've got one aunt so hard in legalism, believed Jesus was wrong when he forgave the woman and caught in adultery because the Bible said she should have been killed. Are you listening to me? I mean, that's some hardcore legalistic people. You need a revelation of grace tonight. Amen. Colossians 2:9, for in him, everybody say in him, the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature, and you are in him made full. Everybody say made full. Does that sound like you're made empty or half full? Some people say, depends on your outlook on life. If you're half full, some people say, I'm half full. That's the positive person. The other person, you say, how are you? Well, I'm half empty. I seem like I never get full. That just depends on your outlook on life. How many know people like that? You're either half full, half empty. Well, either way, you're half. I said, either way, you're only half. Yeah. Half ain't going to work. You're supposed to be overflowing, filling, right? And you are in him made full, and having come to fullness of life in Christ, and you too already filled, everybody say filled, with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. That's how you get to full spiritual stature. Paul said, I should be giving you meat, but I have to give you milk. Now, what I find today in young people, that's who's responding to these meetings that we're doing, 18 to 30. All the pastors said they don't come to church no more. All they're looking for is the truth. The girls today are like men. They're strong. And the boys, they don't know what they are. Bunch of sissies. Here's what I believe's happened. Men have left their post. And women are left carrying the weight, raise the kids, dog the man. The girl thinks, I'm not going to put up with that. When she's a little girl, she grows into adult. And all the boy hears as he's growing into manhood, how bad men are. He ain't sure if he's a boy or the devil in his head. Are you listening to me right now? Now, this is a global thing. I saw this in South Africa. I see it now. Men got to be men. There's fathers in this house. Teach these sons, not only your sons, but sons of the house, to be men. I had a young man the other day, 28 years old. His girlfriend broke up with him. He came to me. He laid his head on my shoulder like my grandbaby. I pushed him back right in the service. I said, be a man. Take it like a man. You think that's the first girl going to break up with you? Women are crazy. They'll break up with you ever. They'll find somebody else. Then they'll come back. Take it like a man. Lift your chin. Go home and watch a John Wayne movie. He didn't know what I was talking about. I mean, the Bible says, be a man. And in him made full, come to fullness of life in Christ. You two are already filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And he's the head of all rule and authority. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by means of the personal agency of the Holy Spirit, we were all, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, baptized, and by baptism united together. How many know that's what holds us together with the body into one body and all made to drink? Everybody say made to drink. So you think I'm making this up? made to drink of one Holy Spirit. How do you drink of a Holy Spirit? Well, you drink in trouble when the phone rings. How many know what I'm talking about? You get bad news, you drink. Oh, my goodness, so-and-so's got cancer. Oh, my God. Oh, they're maybe getting divorced. And it bothers you all day long. How many know exactly what I'm talking about? Well, rather than taking that in, drink in the presence of God. Drink in that spiritual feeling that you feel negative. When the presence of God, you drink in His love, drink in His peace, drink in His joy. Peace at pass. Listen, just lift your hands right where you are right now. Close your eyes and drink in the presence of God. I feel Him here already right now. Right now. This is not going to be a normal meeting because I'm not a normal person and God's not a normal God. Drink in the peace that passes all understanding right now. Drink in the joy of the Lord, for your strength will be the joy of the Lord. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Love, the greatest love the world has ever known. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Let me tell you about love right now. There's human love and there's God's agape love. Human love is wicked. It picks and chooses who it wants to love, what preacher it likes, what family members it like. It is a wicked. God would do whatever He's got to do to drain you of every ounce of human love to fill you with His agape love. Are you listening to me? Today, the pulpits of America are full of motivational preaching that will never last you till you get outside the parking lot, because as soon as your ex calls you and says he ain't picking up the kids, it's over with right now. You lose everything the motivational gave you. But when you have an encounter with God, when you have an encounter with the Holy Ghost, I don't care who calls you, you're going to be uplifted. It ain't going to bother you when you have a touch of a supernatural God. Is anybody with me right here? You just think you do. Yeah. Ephesians 3:19, that you may really come to know practically. Everybody say practically. Let me know God's a practical God. Amen. Through experience for yourselves. You can't live off my brother's walk. You can't live off Shane's walk. You can't live off grandma and grandpa. That you may really come to know through experience for yourselves the love of God, which far surpasses mere knowledge. So what we have today, the church, a lot of knowledge without experience, that you may be filled, everybody say filled, through all your being until all the fullness of God may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be filled with Jesus. You're immersed in Him. It oozes out your pores. Amen. Smith Wigglesworth would get on a train in Bradford, England, and grown men would begin to weep. They had no idea what happened. Just one man got on the train full of the Holy Ghost. Your purpose is to reap. The purpose is to reproduce Jesus in us. The Holy Spirit reveals God to us. The Holy Spirit draws us into a deeper relationship with the Lord. The Holy Spirit brings us into union with the Father and the Son. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the... You can't be cut off from the Holy Spirit and survive in this world today. Are you listening to me? Amen. You got to have the sap or you'll wither up and dry. I don't care how old you are. You can be the best church attender there ever is and be dry. Running on empty. You'll wither up and blow away without the Holy Spirit in your life, without the sap. How can you face problems today without the Holy Spirit? Galatians 2:20 said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. You can't live a life of holiness without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, it's a life of legalism. You did this. You did that. Are you listening to me? He helps you overcome your weaknesses. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll not give in to sin. It can't come inside. What's inside is full of God. Exodus chapter 40, and I'm almost done. It says, then the cloud. Everybody say the cloud. You know what? I'm never worried about the crowd because I learned all these meetings are about the cloud. I'd rather have five people hungry for God than 5,000 just come to see what's going on. Because I'm telling you, those five people will shake the earth. Then the cloud, the Shekinah, God's visible presence, covered the tent of meeting, and the glory, everybody say the glory, of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud remained upon it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. No flesh could enter. It was a picture of the Spirit-filled man. How many know the Old Testament was a type and shadow of things to come? In 2 Chronicles 5:13, and when the trumpeters and singers were joined in unison, were we not worshiping earlier? Making one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord when they lifted up their voice with their trumpets and cymbals and other instruments for song and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Then the house of the Lord was filled with the cloud. Now I feel the Holy Ghost right now moving in this place quickly. Then the house of the Lord was filled with the clouds so that the priests could not stand. People ask me all the time, why do people fall down? There's a deep theological thing. They couldn't stand up. The priest couldn't stand to minister because the cloud for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. The priest could not stand. Therefore, depression cannot stand. Poverty cannot stand. Are you with me right now? Religion cannot stand. Lust can't stand. Nothing can stand when you're filled with the glory of God. Are you listening to me now? There's nothing wrong with you that the filling process will not solve. He came to live and abide in you, a habitation. You can play church all day long, man. I'm just a straight shooter. I'm just telling you. This changed my life, what I'm showing you right here. Not everybody wants to be full, because when the glory comes, Pastor Kledi coined it, and I'd tell him, I've said it on national television in Africa on the TBN satellite, the cream and the crap come to the surface in a move of God. The Holy Spirit brings the joy of the Lord, a bubbling, a running over. When you hit water under pressure, there's a gusher, amen? John says, I've told you these things. Jesus said that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be a full measure, complete and overflowing. How many know we need to be overflowing tonight? The world drinks to get their temporary happiness, and the church feels like there's nothing else to drink. I remember when you used to booze it up and party, you had a good time. Amen? God's still serving up drinks. Psalms 36:8, they relish and feast on the abundance of your house, and you cause them to drink of the stream of your pleasures. Proverbs 9:4, whoever is simple, easily led astray and wavering, let him come, turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, God's wisdom says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the spiritual wine which I have mixed. How many know it's about the new wine? Amen. In 1 Corinthians, for I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, for the forefathers were all under and protected by the cloud in which God's presence went before them, and every one of them passed safely through the Red Sea, and each one of them allowed himself also to be baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. They were brought under obligation to the law, to Moses, and to be the covenant, consecrated and set apart to the service of God. That's what the filling process does for you. And they all drank the same spiritual, this is New Testament I'm reading to you now, they all drank the same spiritual, supernaturally given drink, for they drank from a spiritual rock which followed them, produced by the sole power of God himself without natural instrumentality, and the rock was Christ. In other words, they were thirsty in the desert. How many have been really thirsty in your life? When you get out in the desert, it's painful to be thirsty because you take a breath, you breathe in dust, right? It was hurtful. They had natural thirst, and God gave them natural water supernaturally to take care of their natural thirst supernaturally. In other words, tonight, you may have pain when you lay your head on your pillow, but that pain is real. You know what I'm saying? And the Holy Spirit comes tonight in the same way to take that pain away and to fill you with his Spirit. Amen? Now, here's how I know this works. The word I just read you is Jesus. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word. In verse 14, and the Word became. Who was that? And Jesus said, you've got to eat my flesh, and you've got to drink my blood. Just close your eyes right now. Drink of his presence right now. I know it's a midweek service. But I believe with all of my heart, man, what's happened here is as supernatural as water coming out of a rock in the desert. And you can't just live in that moment. God wants to use you regardless of your age, because it's about the next generation. I see this building completely packed full of young people. But I'm telling you right now, everybody in here is going to have to commit themselves to being full, filled. You just can't endure it. We've relied in this country on our pensions and our 401ks, and we've relied on everything, man. But in the bush, when they get saved, they depend on God for food, healing. And in America, we've been spoiled. And today, with Obamacare and all the things that are coming, our country sits at the brink of collapse. And people are asleep in America. But the church is going to rise up. Amen? Amen. Would you stand to your feet all over the building tonight? I'm going to ask you to close your eyes one more time, and I'm just going to ask you a question. You may say, Scott, at one time, man, I was hot after God. I was full of the Holy Spirit. I loved God with a passion. But things have happened in my life. It could be a divorce. It could be a sudden illness, betrayal of a friend, loss of a loved one, bankruptcy. Anything that stopped you from the filling process. You'd say, Scott, I had that fire, but I want that fire back again. I need that flame burning bright in me. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up anywhere in this place and say, Scott, I need to be refreshed again, once again. Anybody in this building, say, I need more of the Holy Ghost. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Secondly, he'd say, you know, I've never felt like I had much of a call, but I've got family so desperate. Situations are so desperate. I need God to come and touch my family. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up anywhere in the building? And thirdly, he'd say, I recognize what's happened in this church, River Valley Community Church, that God wants to shake this region with this place. And I want to be a part. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up all over this place? Okay, I want you to just look at me right now. If you lifted your hand for any reason, I want you to get out of your seat and come to the front right now. Just come. The Holy Spirit is dealing with people right now. I'm going to minister to everybody in the building that wants prayer. Just make a line across the front. This is a special night. I believe tonight you'll write on your calendar the night God touched you here. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a revival of prodigals in this house. We live in the last ticks of the clock of time, and God is drawing them. But I'm telling you, it's going to take power of prayer and intercession beyond anything we've ever seen before. Amen?